I'm not sure if you're a drum and bass fan, but it's got a nice beat to it. It still has a happy tune, and it's a wonderful Wednesday. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station, now available on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, play UK Health Radio. How are you doing? One thing I do know is this. For those people suffering with dementia, for which my mum is one, music brings them to life. It takes them to somewhere else, and music lifts us all up. It comes in different genres, it comes in different formats. We like what we like, we don't like what we don't like. But all I know is all forms of music make all types of people move. So with that in mind, I hope that you remember that you too are blessed and highly favoured, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. And yes, things can be turned around. This week I was blessed to speak to, well, I spoke to this lady a couple of weeks ago, but I'm sharing this interview with you today, this week, the wonderful Susie Hammond, who works at the Philip Kingsley Clinic, and we're talking about female hair loss. Now, part of my spoken word, one, the first one I wrote in 2007, the year my dad passed away, sadly. In that spoken word, I say, you know your body is your advert. They say your body is your advert even, and you know it must be true. Each day it tells a story. Each day the story's new. You advertise your life, your health, and who and where you're at, and without a care for what it says, your advert could be flat. The health of all your organs, your cells, and all within. It's like your story unfolds through your skin, your hair, your nails, and skin. Now I said, next, Dad always said, your hair's your beauty. So investment here is great. It shapes the face God gave you and plays its life, its role in fate. So we're talking about female hair loss. And I know for myself where I have one little stress patch on the left side of my head, which is right near my, just above my earlobe. That it used to make styling my hair really quite difficult because it's in a spot where it's visible. So any hairstyles that pull my hair back would make it visible. And even when I was styling, there was a difference in the depth and thickness of the hair from the right to the left. So this, I hope, will encourage females when they hear this talk. And there are some things that we can do that can make life better. So that is what we're sharing. But before that, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, when was the last time you looked in the mirror, pointed your finger at yourself and said to yourself, thank you for being you? When was the last time you did that? Because once we start to recognize our own self-worth, it actually can become a very powerful and transformational experience. So we need to remind ourselves that we are uniquely made, fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are special in our own individual ways, and that we also have the capacity to bring hope and joy to people, even in the most difficult times. Everybody at some point in their life has done that for someone or to someone. And when we start to truly appreciate what we've created to be, because we weren't just created to be about what we want for ourselves, then it actually allows us to fill our heart and our life with an abundant sense of self-love, which is one of the things that we need to have first, which many people tend to lack. And once we fill ourselves with this abundance of self-love. It will actually radiate light out, which goes far beyond what a legacy alone could offer anybody. We like to always think, you know, talk about leaving a legacy. But that legacy is really more about the things that are not tangible. Not the material things in life, but the things that are not tangible. Nobody in your eulogy really wants to know how many houses you have, how many cars you've got, how much money's left in the bank. Because trust me, if you've got family behind you, but what they're going to talk about is the impact you had on their lives or the lives of people around them. How you make people feel in a moment, at a particular time. What influence you have, and if that influence is for the good, as opposed to being a self-centered, all about me influence. That's what people are interested in. That's what motivates. I always remember listening to my aunt's eulogy years back, 2006, and just the things that she achieved. I mean, she came over from Barbados and the things she was able to achieve. But she had 14 grandchildren. And those 14 grandchildren could individually tell you how my auntie made them feel and what my auntie did for them and how she empowered their lives. And that's what I think is the most important thing, because it's all about the faith. It's all about, I'm a believer, so I know it's about God, right? It's about faith. It's about hope. It's about love. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, the Bible says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Which is true. And self-love is the first love. Because you know, the Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. So therefore, self-love has to be the first one. Because you can only love someone, really, to the depths that you love yourself. But I don't mean loving yourself in such a way that, look at me, here I am. I'm talking about that self-love where you know who you are, whose you are, and what you were created for. So that your life is bigger than you. And it's not always about tangible things. It's not about the things you can see. But it's about the things you can't see. And people say they don't have faith, but they do. You, every time you go to bed or you make plans to meet somebody tomorrow, Friday, next week, Monday, next week, Wednesday, the plans you make to book a holiday. I mean, we booked to go to St. Lucia, by God's grace. We're going on the 21st of April this year for a wedding. But we booked that from last May. At no point do I have any thoughts in my head that I can't make it. That's the difference. Once you understand whose you are and what you've got, you just move in faith. It's going to happen. That's just the hope, it's going to happen. That is faith. And it does say that faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. So, you know, all of us have got faith. All of us have faith. We have faith in something. But whether that faith is in things that are going to actually, you know, lift us up or be able to do things that are really good. I mean, if you know, you want to build something, people that decide to build their own businesses or to do whatever, they have the faith that they can do it. And it's a substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. But it also says faith without works is dead. So a person that comes with an idea, it also says, the Bible's full of everything fantastic. It also says, write the vision on a tablet that he that sees it may run with it. Though it tarry, wait for it, because at an appointed time, it will come. So when you want to build something, when you want to create something, you kind of write that vision down. It's like, that could be your business plan. You've got your blueprint. You've got it. Now, once you've got it, you've got something to work with. That's what you can run with. That's what you can work towards. And though it takes its time to develop and appear, it will come. I have a vision to move the business of female intimate health and the whole person, not just working individually one-on-one when ladies come to me, but to be able to go into corporate companies and be able to share my pelvic secrets so that women are able to manage their intimate health throughout all stages of their life, through menstruation, into maternity, if they have that experience, into menopause. My belief is that we don't wait for menopause before we start to look at mandates to try and help women to stay in work. Because if you look at the statistics of the amount of days lost through productivity, through menstruated related challenges, you will realise there are millions of pounds that companies lose. And the way companies are interested in helping females is when they realise that if they can improve their bottom line, life is better for them, they will do that. So we have to be able to use the right language. But also, by the same token, we have to also be able to let females know that their body is their business. They say your body is your advert, and you know it must be true. Each day it tells a story. Each day the story's new. You do advertise your life and your health and who and where you're at. So you have to have a care for what it says. Otherwise, you will find yourself struggling. And right now, we live in such a material world where everything is measured by, literally, people measure their success by their bank balance, by the car they drive, by the house they live in and the area they're in, and the bag they're carrying. You know, the handbag is the thing. The shoes on your feet is the thing. I just got a new car last week, and yesterday I parked it, and we was trying to get into across town, across London. It seems to be this thing where the first week I have to scratch one wheel trim. I mean, it just made me feel sick for like an hour. Like I was, it's not a massive scratch, but I scratched the wheel trim, and they're black alloys, and I just wanted to go home. And then I have to catch myself. It's a wheel trim. I can get it fixed. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about how it's changing the look of the car. Something that gives me the comfort of getting from A to B. But it's not the measure of my life. So sometimes we get wrapped up in things that, you know, they can be fixed. But when it comes to our health, when it comes to our vitality, it cannot always be fixed if we just leave it, if we don't look after it, if we don't value it, if we don't treasure it. What should happen is the way I felt about scratching that wheel trim yesterday, that's how I should feel about the foods and the drinks and the things I put in my body, and think to myself, oh my God, I'm destroying my organs. I'm hurting my liver. I'm hurting my kidneys. I should feel sick that I'm doing things to myself that aren't going to get me where I can be. But then I can think to myself, well, okay, fine. I know what juices to make. I know what things to make to try to fix what I may be destroying. But that's the life we live. The life we live today is about taking in toxins, being exposed to toxins, choosing to take in toxins, and then looking to see how we can get rid of the toxins we took in when we detox. But then people detox so they can look good or be slim for an event or an occasion. We go on a diet to look good for an event or an occasion. And then once that event or occasion is gone, we go back to minimizing our health and calling that treats. We call, as my surrogate dad, Vasco Stevenson, says, he says it's junk masquerading as food, because food is supposed to supply nutrition to ourselves to keep us well and keep us vibrant, functional, and moving. But if cells actually destroy brain function, destroy liver function, kidney function, whatever. It's not cells, sorry, food. Or junk masquerading as food does that. Then how can we call it food? And I suppose, and then, you know, I've told you before, and I have in my book, Pelvic Floor Secrets, chapter 12, I've got, it's called diet, love life or love food. That's the question I'm asking. Now, the question I want to ask you is, should it be a choice? Should we have to choose between loving our life or loving our food. We should be able to love life and enjoy it and love our food. But literally, and the acronym I have for diet, you know already for me, I believe it is the only acronym, because every single one of us is on a daily diet. Whether it's air and water, we're on a diet. And a diet is simply the difference in eating this, foods that optimize our health, versus the difference in eating that, food that minimizes our health. And I have the acronym, I have the trademark, I have it already designed long time ago, before somebody thinks, let me take that, I like that. But it is. It's a difference in eating this, difference in eating that. You're either eating towards optimizing your health, or you're eating towards minimizing your health. There are only two ways to eat. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to you that, you know, I don't eat anything that doesn't optimize my health, because then I would be lying. But with a big capital B-U-T. They are not my mainstay, staple part of my diet. That's the difference. Because we've got to this point. We've been brought up on manufactured, processed foods. And it's got to the point where we've got microwaves, which cook between 240 and 420 degrees, for which no nutrients can survive in that heat. And we need to have our food now. We want to eat now, not waiting. And we've created what we call convenience food, not realizing that we've created foods that conveniently make us unwell. And what was convenient is only conveniently making us poor in health. So we've got all this technology, we've got AI now that can do our posts for us and do our writing for us and do this, and we've got all this intelligence, we've got all of this intelligence. But when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to lifestyle, we seem to have lost the intelligence. Because when you look for everything external to do it for you, then there's no need for you to look internally. But your body is your business. So when you leave your health and put it in the hands of other people, put it in the hands of drug companies. Every drug comes with side effects, because what it does is it takes natural herbal products and mixes it with toxic chemicals. And so they all come with side effects. It tells you to read this litany of possible side effects. And straight away, before you take all the drugs that you take, you should ask yourself, why does something that's supposed to make me well come with a whole list of possible side effects that if you experience any of these, tell your doctor straight away, stop taking the tablets? You do not see nature with the natural herbs and the trees doesn't say comes with possible side effects. You just don't see that. And I do get that people are allergic to certain things. But you don't see potatoes growing out of the ground saying come with side effects. But maybe in the farms that use loads of really poisonous pesticides, maybe they should be having signs that say come with possible side effects. But anyway, I digress. The point I'm making is we all have an ability to make a decision about our health, about our vitality, and about how we choose to live our life. But I want to play a trail, and then I want to play the interview with Susie Hammond, because when it comes to our hair, we dye it, we fry it, we cut it, we plait it, we twist it, we do all sorts of things to our hair, and we create hairstyles. But what we don't recognize is actually you are what you eat and what comes out. That's what I said, yeah? The health of all your organs, your cells, and all within can be told as your story unfolds through your hair, your nails. and skin.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This is Jenny here with Her Health and Happiness, and today we are talking about female hair loss. And I'm blessed to be speaking with Susie Hammond. Now, Susie Hammond joined Philip Kinsley Clinic in 2014, working alongside founder Philip Kinsley, who we are celebrating his life as he passed away at the age of 86. And inspired by his immense passion for all things trichology, Susie went on to study at the Institute of Trichology, graduating with distinction, you know, and winning the prestigious John Firmage Award with a special interest in scarring alopecia. Susie's a passionate about attending seminars and conferences on the latest research into hair and scalp conditions and development in the treatment. And we are going to speak about female hair loss, because my dad used to always say your hair is your beauty. So Susie, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So what is it about, I mean, obviously, as I said, my dad used to say, your hair is your beauty. What is it about female hair loss and what are the typical causes?
Okay, so as you say, and your dad rightly said, to a lot of people, your hair is very much part of our self-confidence, how we feel about ourselves. When we start to experience changes, if we start seeing hair loss, that can be very impactful on our self-confidence. And, something we need to address if we possibly can. For females, for women and for males, it's those male hormones, the androgens, that can very commonly cause some thinning, which starts to gradually appear. Particularly with women, there are certain times in our lives, certain things that can happen that can cause those androgens to be more impactful in the hair follicle and cause some changes which result in thinning. Generally, we get a bit sparser on top of our scalps. The hairs that are being produced become finer and finer. That's essentially how female pattern thinning begins to evidence itself. We see finer hairs, our ponytail gets a bit thinner. Our parting on the top of our scalps, particularly at the front, can start to appear wider. We can start to see more scalp visible on the crown there. And our temples can recede a little bit as well, much as the males can. So that's essentially what female pattern thinning can start to look like.
Yeah, and I think that's the stressful thing. I saw your hair this morning, Susie, so I have to say I'm a bit jealous because you've got a full crown. Yeah, and it's, I think, and also there is a big difference between black hair and Caucasian hair, because my hair and the way in which I look after my hair, the way in which I treat my hair, would be totally different to you. The shampoos, some of the shampoos that you use can be quite stripping for our hair.
Yeah.
I have got some thinning on the more so the left side of my head, around the temple, which makes it really hard, because when you pull your hair back, of course, there's this thinner part on that one side that you try to cover over, or like you said, with the ponytail seems thinner, or my sister. I know I've noticed my sister's crown is wider at the top. Is that to do with nutrition? Is it to do with stress? What is it?
Well, there are all sorts of reasons why we can start to experience a bit of hair loss. You have to look at the whole picture. So you have to approach it holistically. Nutrition has a huge impact on our hair growth. Hair is actually a really good barometer of what's going on inside the body, because there's a sort of priority cue. Very sensibly, your body's going to take care of all your essential functions first of all, like heart, your lungs, your liver, etc. And so your hair is at the very back of the queue, unfortunately for us. So it's going to be the last to get any available nutrients, and therefore the first to show if you've got any deficiencies going on. So that's really the first place to start, is to think about your diet. Think about, am I including enough complex carbs for energy? Are really good. So we want nice low glycemic index foods that keep a nice steady form of energy throughout the day to help us reproduce our hair cells, and plenty of protein in our diets. But with the best will in the world, to be honest, you can have a super diet, but you may be somebody who just doesn't retain your iron sufficiently well, for instance, or you're not synthesizing vitamin D very well. There are a handful of core nutrients that are really important in metabolism in the hair follicles, so in reproducing those hair cells.
Mm.
So if you're seeing a bit of hair loss, blood tests are a good place to start. Are there any deficiencies that are underpinning that? Or is it a more hormonal issue, which is extremely common, nothing to be too frightened of. And there are certain times, as I said earlier, in our lives where for us women, those hormonal issues become more prevalent. So as we move through menopause, for instance, our normal levels of our estrogen begin to fall. And as that estrogen drops, there's less of that female hormone to oppose the male hormones, which can be quite impactful on the hair follicle and can cause it to get smaller and smaller. And therefore, we start producing these finer and finer hairs. So there are lots of things, medication, some forms of hormone contraceptives. There are all sorts of things that we can be taking that can impact our hair positively or negatively. So it's important to have a look at the whole picture. And if you can, sort of get informed, see a trichologist or have a look around at some information, see if we can pin down what factors are going on. And it is quite common for there to be multiple causes for hair loss. So yeah. You may have a little bit of nutritional deficiency, but you may also have some hormonal issues going on as well.
Yeah, and I get that completely, because as a nutritional lifestyle coach, I understand that. And it's quite interesting, actually, because I think a lot of people don't realise the continued elevated levels of stress they have, the stress on the adrenals, and then, of course, it's impact that how it starts internally first, but then it makes its way out. And I suppose when it makes its way out, it makes its way up to the crown. So it makes its way to the head. So what about... Sorry, say that again, please.
I said stress can be hugely impactful, because it does, as you know, cause real systemic changes in the body. So it can have impact on lots of things, and hair is one of those things that where it can reflect.
Yeah, and I suppose really, like I said, it takes... I actually did a post, I'm doing a post this morning, and I said, you know, there is no reward without sacrifice, but don't sacrifice your health, because the reward may not come at all. And this is the one thing that we don't realize, you know, it's true. You know, you've got to be able, it's got to cost you something for it to be like, you know, but the discipline is what is, you know, people think, oh, if I give up this, what we call bad foods or things that don't really empower our lives, we call those things treats, but we don't do anything about them until it can become, you know, really visible or detrimental. Now, when it comes to our hair, that really is something, because, you know, once you've sort of got ready, you've been invited to an event, you know, you pick your outfit, you do your makeup, you do your hair. So you want hair to do, don't you, really? And, you know, the proliferation of wearing wigs and stuff will still have an impact on the hairline, because something's got to hold it down. But what is the difference between hair thinning and alopecia?
Well, first of all, alopecia is just a general term that refers to any form of hair loss. It's quite commonly bandied about in reference to alopecia areata, which is patch hair loss. And you commonly see those little patches appearing on the scalp. That's alopecia areata. But alopecia just generally means any form of hair loss. So we can get extra hair shedding, which we call telogen effluvium. And that's commonly underpinned, as I said, by anything to do with poor nutrition, nutritional deficiencies, some medications, stress, all sorts of things can cause that extra hair shedding, which is essentially the hair is not staying in its growing phase long enough. That growing phase is interrupted. Those hairs come out prematurely. And so we see more hair fall throughout the day than we normally would. That over a long period of time is going to cause some reduction in volume, of course, because those hairs are regrowing, But the hair cycle, the length of the hair cycle means it's going to take a long time for those hairs to recover the length and therefore fill out the volume again. So hair shedding, something you need to investigate fully, look at your nutrition, look at some blood tests, think about your stress levels, think about various events that may have happened. We commonly see short-term extra hair shedding following an operation, some blood loss, high fever, postpartum, as you know. There are lots of factors that can impact extra hair shedding. Hair thinning is a different thing. That's a different issue, and that's a more gradual process. We don't tend to notice lots and lots of extra hairs coming out, but what we notice is, as I said, more scalp appearing. When we're typically, my female patients will come to me and say, look, I've been standing under that downlighter in the bathroom doing my makeup, I can see more scalp through the hair suddenly. And I've just started noticing my parting's getting wider, that sort of thing. And that's a gradual process of the hair, the hairs that are being produced. Each one is becoming finer and finer in each hair cycle. And that's a hormonal issue. And that's to do with the levels of our estrogen, in menopause dropping, or throughout our younger years, normal levels of those hormones. If we happen to be genetically prone to being a little more sensitive to the male hormones in certain areas of our scalp, those male hormones can cause the follicles to get smaller and smaller, and therefore they produce finer and finer hairs. So that's pattern thinning, female pattern thinning. Quite common to get the two issues going on hand in hand. So the loss of volume, we also see the thinning as well at the same time. And so here at Phillip Kingsley, we'll address the whole picture. You want to investigate the whole thing, make sure we're tackling all the issues to get the best out of your hair.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I think really, because we don't link our nutritional lifestyle to the things that happen in our body, we just don't seem to see it's different. And I suppose when we're moving through, as you said, we're going into the menopause, we've got this whole thing around, you know, up to 1 million women looking to leave the workspace because they don't feel supported. But also, I believe we're looking at it wrong, because women don't have the support, the men don't have the education, nor do the women have the education. And so we don't link things like elevated levels of stress, that career ladder progress, because that's just one part of it. You don't know what they're doing in their personal life outside of that, and you don't really know how they're managing their nutritional lifestyle. So it is like trying to put a jigsaw puzzle together with one piece to see the whole picture, but not actually putting the rest of the pieces together. We've got to look at those things. But you mentioned alopecia areata, and what is do you have any ideas what the underlying causes are for that?
With alopecia areata, is an autoimmune condition. So essentially the body just makes a mistake and sends cells to attack what it thinks are pathogens in the body. It thinks something is going wrong, essentially in the hair follicle in this instance, and it makes a mistake and attacks that hair follicle. So the hairs break away and we lose little patches over the scalp. Can be diffuse, you can lose the whole of the scalp hair, and it can progress to all the body hair as well. But it's an autoimmune condition. We don't know, it's not yet known what the underlying cause, the reason for somebody getting that autoimmune condition is. What we do know is the trigger in a vast percentage of cases is stress, or a stressful event, an operation sometimes, an accident, that sort of thing. It's also more prevalent in patients with thyroid disorders, certain groups of conditions, atopic conditions. We see it more prevalently with people who are prone to certain conditions as well. And low vitamin D is a known risk factor, so it's always as well to keep up your vitamin D. But it is essentially an autoimmune condition.
It's quite a fully loaded topic, isn't it, here? But we don't tend to have it. So how do people find you? How do people come to find you and have access to the services that you provide?
Once you start searching online, you know, there's a lot of information out there about hair health, hair and scalp health. We get a lot of people through word of mouth. We've been here in Green Street since 1968. Mr. Kingsley moved into the building here. So we've been here a long time. We are an established firm with a great reputation. So we do tend to be the go-to if people are looking for a trichologist. We see a lot of patients online these days as well, because if you can't get to us, there's an awful lot you can do on a virtual consultation as well. And we can at the very least start the process for you. There's an awful lot of information on our website as well. So it's a good place to start. There's a hair quiz you can take. If you're looking for general advice, you mentioned earlier on the difference between different hair types. And with different hair types, you've got to take a very different approach to your hair care. So you can take the hair quiz on the website. That will guide you towards the sorts of day-to-day things you can be doing to look after the condition and the health of your hair. And there's a lot of information on there about the various hair and scalp conditions that you might be experiencing, any issues that you might be experiencing, such as thinning or shedding. So it's a good place to start and have a look at the website.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I tell you, I think, honestly, it's kind of weird, isn't it, that you know, we had the pandemic a couple of years ago, and the access, the open access worldwide to your services, you know, because the online world, it's one of those services that can be accessed online. It makes life easier for people across the world, doesn't it?
It does. And with this sort of thing, it can be very distressing. Suffering from hair loss, it really can. And it can feel very, some people get very anxious about it, very embarrassed. If you can seek some advice and you can't, you know, you can't get to us physically, being able to have an hour consultation with somebody on Zoom or over the phone can give a lot of reassurance. And it's a good, you know, it's a good first step in the right direction. And we can usually help get somebody started on their treatment. We see them virtually. Obviously, I love to see my patients in clinic. I use a tool called a digital microscope, which I can project the images up onto a screen using this tool. So that in itself is extremely reassuring, because I very often get patients who come in and see me and say, look, you know, I've got these areas of baldness on my scalp, or I've got these really irritated areas. I can show them, actually, there's a lot of hair there. I can explain what's going on. They can actually see the changes in the diameters of the hairs. They can see the condition of the scalp. That's usually extremely reassuring in itself, because it demystifies everything and it explains, you know, why we're doing the treatments we're doing. And it helps people feel they're taking control. And that's another very relevant thing you talked about, stress, particularly the stress around times of change for us women as we move through menopause. I think it's far too often accepted that these are just changes we go through. We just have to live with it. There's a lot you can do. You don't just have to live with it. Seek some help, because there's a lot you can do. And with your hair issues, it's not something you should just throw up your hands and say, I just have to accept it. Seek some advice. And there may very well be some treatments you can use, and some good advice you can take to improve the condition and you know, the density of your hair.
For sure. Now, Susie, I'm just going to be a bit more greedy since I've got you here as a black woman, right? I find that my right side of my hair is thicker than the left side of my hair. I do have one patch that's been there for years, like a small patch. And I know it's where I when I had it in plaits, and I think the plait pulled on that hair, and it just that one little patch that just, well, there's no hair growing there, but there's, but there's fine hair around it. Does it make a difference as to what side, as to how you sleep, if you sleep on your left side or your right side? Is the side of the hair that you sleep on usually thinner than the side of the hair that you don't sleep on?
I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. Traction, so when you use very tight hairstyles over a long period of time, that is more likely to be an issue. If you're seeing a little bit of recession at one side, that's potentially something. Very, very tight hairstyles over a long period of time can cause a little bit of traction loss where you can see a difference. But it's worth saying that as humans, we're very rarely perfectly symmetrical. So it's quite common to look at your hairline and see one side is a little bit better than the other. That's usually something not to worry too much about. If you are concerned, again, have a look around, seek some advice, and it may be that some better hair care practices might help a little bit with that. Generally, you need to be doing extremely tight hairstyles for a long period of time to see.
No, I didn't do that.
You did?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. But what I was doing, and I did stop doing, because I, you know, had my little sassy, sexy 60. I turned 60 at the end of November, beginning of November last year. But I decided to actually stop relaxing my hair. I've been relaxing my hair literally all my life, really, since from probably late teenage. and I stopped relaxing it. And it is amazing because I did like my hair relaxed. It's easy to style when I'm an athlete. So, you know, you're always exercising. With our hair, there's so much work to do to, you know, make a hairstyle. But I have found that the quality of the hair is significantly improved since I stopped using the chemicals in the hair. And I think that's another thing as well, that long-term use of those chemicals can only be stripping for the hair.
Yeah, they are very harsh. You always treat your hair with respect. It's now, with any damage to the hair shaft, that will grow out. So your growing hair will come through. You're not doing permanent damage generally with that. But obviously your hair won't perform as well. It will be more prone to breakage if you use harsh chemicals. And potentially will just look a little duller and, you know, less pleasing to style. So try and be gentle with your hair. If you do need to do a lot of processing, aftercare is the key. So use a regular hair mask once a week, I'd advise, with something that's going to put some strength and some lovely hydration back into the hair. So good aftercare if you're doing a lot of styling, particularly heat, then it's worth taking care of your hair with a regular hair mask once a week, I'd say.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
One thing I would say is I'm not about sucking the fun out of life, and we want to style our hair. We want to enjoy it. Otherwise, there's no point in even talking about this whole issue. We want to look good, and styling is a huge part of that. So I tend not to say to my clients, don't style your hair, don't use hair dryers, don't use this and that. It's about how you do it. So becoming a little bit more informed about the potential damage you can do and taking steps to mitigate that. So using heat protection when you use heat styling, try not to use the highest heat on the hairdryer and so on. Use the right tools. So use brushes that are going to be kind to the hair shaft and not tear the hair cuticle, that little lovely protective layer on the outer hair shaft. Just having a bit of forethought about what you're doing. And then good aftercare, as I say, using a good regular hair mask will help with the hair condition long term.
Gosh, there's so many things. It's so fully loaded. But we see when you go natural, when I do this, what we call silk pressing, it's high heat to blow dry it with a paddle brush. Then it's the real high heat to straighten out those shafts. But as the hairdresser says, once you've done it on that one day where you've put a load of heat in the hair, you do not put any more heat in it. That's it. If it starts to revert back, that's it. You leave it. And I understand all of that, but I think it's such a multi-layered topic that I could talk to you all day, Susie. Just before you go then, Susie, where can people go for more information? And are you on social media? Where will people find you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you can find Philip Kingsley on Instagram. I have my own Instagram account there as well.
What's your Instagram account as well then?
My Instagram account, you can find me at Susie_Philip Kingsley. And we do have a great website that's packed full of information, and it's a really good place to start. I say that if you're thinking about any hair or scalp concerns, have a look at the website. There's, as I said, there's a hair quiz you can do that helps identify the sorts of products you should be using for your hair type. But if you're worried about any form of hair thinning or scalp condition, just get in touch with us. We have a whole expert team here of trichologists, and we're
fantastic. Susie, thank you so much for your help.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we have come to the end of the show, and I hope you found that interview really powerful. I hope that's helped you. If you have any issues around your hair, you know that you can actually now do something about it. You also know that it starts with you and it ends with you, and it's down to you to, one, seek the help, but then also make the internal changes in terms of your nutrition and lifestyle that will make a difference. But if you'd like to be able to optimize your health so that your crowning glory actually just displays what's going on with you internally, there are only 10 places on my next 60-day Optimizing Health Transformational Challenge, which starts on the 1st of March. So you've got 3 weeks to book your place and come on board. I'd love to have you on board. It'll be so, you'll find it very, very empowering. As I said, the last lady that did the first challenge really did get some amazing testimonial results, and I'd love for you to be able to have the same experience that they've had. So you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Pelvic Secret, TikTok. You can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn, Jenny Russell. And remember, you can email me pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. So that's Papa Echo Lima Victor Indigo Charlie, Sierra Echo Charlie, Romeo Echo Tango Sierra at Indigo Charlie Lima Oscar Uniform Delta.com. See, I love that language. PelvicSecrets, Pelvic Secrets. But until next week, in health and happiness, I do hope that this interview this week has been empowering for you. Whatever you have planned for the second week of February, it is my friend's birthday today. My pastor's birthday was Monday. My cousin's wife's birthday was Monday. Two of my really good dear friends, Shijini, my one that I make people look good in terms of transforming their bodies, and then she just dresses that body up. And it was her birthday on Saturday. We had an amazing weekend out. And my wonderful, wonderful friend, Rhonda, who's now discovered that tennis is the best thing, and it's what life was meant for. Life was meant for being on a tennis court. Until next week, in health and happiness, I do wish you well. I get a high every time we kiss. Can't get enough, babe. So come give me love.